Go. All right. Is that better? All right. Some of our choices can be small, like where we're going to eat. Some of our choices could be big, like where we're going to move. I've got a friend of mine. He's been called to be a missionary to the Navajos in New Mexico. And that was a big choice that him and his new wife made. They just had a baby. He's a licensed plumber. He's got a good job. He serves in our church well, but the Lord's called him to be a missionary. Some are significant, some are major, but the choices we make will affect our lives forever. We must be extremely careful on the choices we make. Now, some of y'all know a little bit about my past, and I've made some bad choices in my past. And the choices still follow me sometimes to this day. But we have to be careful not to make them in our own strength. We have to make sure we make them in the Lord's strength. Now, this country, as you can see today, whether you read the newspaper, follow it on the internet, watch television, however you follow the news, is making some extremely bad choices. And they've been making some bad choices for a while now. And unfortunately, with it, and I don't talk politics much in the pulpit, but with this election we have coming up, we don't have a very good choice this year. I hate to say it, but we don't. Even the one that's running for the GOP is for abortion and for LGBT and all this other stuff that God's against. Our choices are limited. But the choices we make in life will send ripples for a long time.
Man, that's right.
They won't just affect us, but they'll affect our kids. They'll affect our community. They'll affect my grandkids. That's why I bring my grandkids to church every week. My grandkids have been saved already. Praise the Lord. She just turned 6 and he's 8 years old. And they got saved this year and I got to baptize them. It was a blessing. But the choices we make affect us. Now we got to look at some different things. Like we shouldn't trust ourselves. We like to trust ourselves a lot. If you'll turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. I've got quite a few scripture here tonight. We'll be doing a little bit of flipping. It takes me a second. I'm not one to put a lot of markers in my Bible because I use so much scripture, I'll end up flipping to the wrong place. And so I just turn there as I go. So in Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." What we feel is not always right. I get so tired of hearing people today and they say, "Well, you know how I feel. Well, you know my heart is leading me." And you know, you see the signs, follow your heart, right? But we can't go by what we feel. We can't trust in our own heart. Sometimes, I'll admit it, I'm a preacher. And on Wednesday nights, I own a plumbing company. I've been plumbing all day. Last week we were jackhammering all day. I don't want to go to church sometimes on Wednesday night. I'm tired. But I can't trust what my heart feels. I know what I need, and I need the feeding of God's Word. I need the feeding of God's Word. Now, Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" We can't trust our heart. Our hearts get us in big problems all the time. Now, another thing you should do. Sorry about that, I'm skipping my notes. We can't try to figure out our past. Turn to Proverbs 16:9. And that's what we do when we trust in our own heart. That's what Lot did. Right? What did he see? He saw all the plains of Jordan, didn't he? That they were well watered. He trusted his heart. You know what he should have done? He should have went to Abraham. Because his uncle had been following God for a while. And yes, his uncle made mistakes. But his uncle followed God. And he called upon the Lord. So what he should have said was, "Hey, Unc, you pick which side you want, and you know what? I'll take the other side." Because it doesn't say much in there about Lot following God. It just shows him getting in a lot of trouble. I have a feeling he followed his heart a lot. Proverbs 16:9 says, "And a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." We can devise and scheme and try and plan out all we want, but the Lord's still in control. That's why this election don't look promising. But that really doesn't bother me to the point it does a lot of people. Man, people are freaked out. Because you know why? The Bible says that God has the kings in the palm of His hands, right? And it says He can turn them whichever way He wants them to go. So, even though the outcome, I remember how many people, and of course, the last election with Mitt Romney, I wasn't for him either, really. Of course, I didn't vote for Obama. But I wasn't for him because he's a Mormon. He's not a born-again Christian. They don't believe Jesus is a son of God. He's a Mormon. So he wasn't God's choice either for this country. Now, in Proverbs 28:26, I told you I got a lot of scripture. I like scripture because it leads me in the right path I should go. It says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Yeah. Now, how do we walk wisely? For one thing, we read God's Word. He didn't leave this here just for us to hear and look at on Sundays and Wednesdays. This is our roadmap. This tells us what to do and what not to do. Who to hang out with and who not to hang out with. What to say and what not to say. Who to marry and who not to marry. It tells us everything. You got all these people with alcohol problems and drug problems, and because they're all so empty and they're wandering around and they're looking for something and they're making all these bad choices because they're trying to fill that empty void. And the bad thing is, a lot of the churches, most of the churches, have made bad choices and they've dropped the ball. Yeah. So you have all these people and they're looking to all this different stuff and they're making all these bad choices and it's affecting all their generations. I used to think, let me look back here real quick because I never can remember the exact scripture. I think it's Numbers 14. It says in Numbers 14, verse 18, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." I used to think, how can He blame my grandchildren for what I did? But you know what? I was praying for God's wisdom as I was reading one day, and He pointed it out to me. He said, "Hey, dummy. That's not what I meant. Monkey see, monkey do." Right? The dad does it, who does the son want to be like? The mother does it, who does the daughter want to be like? And it just keeps going and it progresses. That's why our country's in the shape it's in today. It's because it just keeps snowballing and nobody's stopping it. And you know what everybody's saying? Oh, well, we don't really have a voice anymore. You know, that's what they said in 1961. Or 1962, when they said, "Let's take prayer out of school. Eh, we're outnumbered. We can pray at home. It's okay. It'll be all right. Who are we to make them pray?" And then 1963, what do? They take the Bible out. In 1963, the Bible, the King James Version, was curriculum at Dallas Independent School District. This is what they taught. This was reading in English. This is what they taught. And you know what? You had good morals and good values coming out of students. Now what happened because of the bad choices that were made? We had the revolution in the 60s. Then we have all these unwanted pregnancies. So in 1973, what do? Roe versus Wade. Abortion. Just like Israel. We have followed the same path as Israel. They did the same thing, but what did they do? They sacrificed their babies to the god of Moloch. Threw them in the fire. Can you imagine that, carrying your baby up there and throwing it in the fire? But that's what abortion was. It was our Molech. Now, as of about a month ago, when I was looking at statistics, in America alone, in legal clinics, it's not talking about the underground clinics or the rest of the world, 58,500,000+. 58 million babies have been destroyed. All because of bad choices. You can't tell me that it's coincidence that in 62 we took prayer out, 63 we took the Bible out, 10 years later we have a generation with no morals. But you know what Christians said at that time? Now, I wasn't even born at that time. Well, I was born right before Roe versus Wade, but a lot of Christians said, I've heard them say it, oh, it's okay, let them have their little bit. Let them have their little bit. Where were the Christians? The Christians were the majority at that time.
Right.
How did this happen? We made the choice. Just like we have choices today that's going to affect generations away. Yeah. Now, get back to my message here. Proverbs 19:21. Okay. The way that we're wise in our past is we seek godly counsel. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So see, it just said it doesn't matter what's in your heart. Doesn't matter what you decide, what your heart feels. God's counsel is what's going to stand. God's counsel is going to stand. Only God's counsel will stand. Proverbs 12:15, which if you... Everybody should read Proverbs every day along with their scripture. There's 30 Proverbs. There's usually 30 to 31 days in a month, except the odd month of February. But you should read it every day. There's so much wisdom in here. You can go towards the end of Proverbs. When Proverbs 26, it talks about the alcoholic. It talks about staying away from it. There's so much you can get out of Proverbs. But you know, people ignore it. Proverbs 12:15 says, the ways of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is what?
Wise.
We know what counsel they're talking about. Godly counsel.
Amen.
Proverbs 11:14. Flip over a few more chapters back. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people do good. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, the multitude, plural, there is safety. When I make a decision, I get 4 or 5 people to pray about it. Now, I'll admit it, I'm human like everybody else. Sometimes I make snap decisions. That's how I ended up with a 50 caliber rifle one time. I'll admit it, I didn't pray about it because I knew God was going to tell me no. I didn't ask my wife about it because I knew she was going to tell me no. Next thing you know, I got a $4,000 rifle. And I get it home, me and my buddy carried in like I was fooling her. She already knew. She saw my emails and stuff, but I thought I was fooling her. And I said, whoom, when I got this 60-pound rifle in my hand. I didn't see Galda counsel on that. And you know, the Lord almost would not let me sell that thing. Everybody wants it. Well, not everybody. A lot of people want a 50 caliber rifle. They're easy to sell. Mine wasn't. But God was teaching me a lesson on that because I didn't get counsel on it. I didn't ask my preacher because I knew what he'd say. What do you need one? I told him later on, long range squirrel hunting. But you should have 4 or 5 people. And I'm talking godly people. Don't go to people who are living like the world. There's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing in churches today. And you know who they are. If you attend church faithfully, you know who they are. Don't go to them. That's not the one to go to. Go to your pastor. Go to deacons. Go to people that you know pray. Go to your wife. Have your wife pray about it. Go to your mom and dad if you're not married. Go get godly counsel. Make sure they can't be swayed by man. That's the key thing. It's godly counsel, not worldly counsel. But you have to go to a lot. I'm fixing to start school. It's very scary for me. I dropped out in 9th grade. Well, I got kicked out. That's a whole different story. Anyway, I got expelled for 10 years from high school in Austin, or from all schools. So I joined the military, got my GED, and so I never even, you put pre-algebra in front of me, I'm just going to say, yeah, you might as well put Greek in front of me because I can't tell you that. So it's a scary thing. I had to get godly counsel. It's not something I just decided because it scares me. I didn't finish high school. Now, I've been to a small college, FBI, Faith Bible Institute. It was a satellite deal, you know, on TV. You go on Monday nights. But this is full-time college. I'm 44 years old with a wife and grandkids and an evangelism ministry, but the Lord has told me that I need to go back to school. And it's not going to hurt. But I had to get some godly counsel on that. And I did have some men pray over it. One of them, how old is Brother Stollard? 88 now? Yeah, he's like 88 years old. Been saved since he was 25. Never missed church since the day he got saved. He worked for an auto parts factory. I'm going to tell y'all this story because y'all don't know. Anybody in here know Brother Stollard? Because if you do, I'm going to make you go stand outside. All right, I'll tell you the story. He worked for an auto parts, Ford or Chevy or somebody. It was way back when. Probably back in your day. Gives you a hard time. But he needed parts. He was the boss. He just put them in his lunchbox and take them home. Went on for 4 or 5 years. Guess what? He got saved. But he went back and he paid for every part he took. Every part he took. He didn't have to. Nobody knew. But he knew it was wrong once he got saved. But I went to him for godly counsel. He's been saved a long time. Very, very smart man. If I have problems with understanding some stuff in the Bible, I go to him. Very good man. Very smart man. Very spiritual man. But we have to see godly counsel, but they got to be godly people. Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Okay? His delight's in the law of the Lord. What's the law say? Get godly counsel. Where's that bottle of water at that you got me earlier? In here? Oh, thank you. Sorry, but I just got over being sick for 2 weeks and my voice is still going out off and on. I like to sing them praise gods when you're doing that, Beulah Land. So that's when it started going on me a little bit. But it tells you, once again, not just in Proverbs, but in Psalms. It tells you how to be blessed by who not to hang out with. It tells you who to get counsel from. You got to seek godly counsel. Otherwise, you're going to make bad choices, like I did with that gun. That was a very bad choice. I'll admit it. My wife will admit it. Guys, if you've never done the ask now, buy now, ask forgiveness later, don't do it. It's not worth it. I found that out. All my buddies were like, oh, just buy now, ask forgiveness later. She'll get over. Yeah. Don't do it. That's a lie. That'll get you in trouble. I was on the corner of the rooftop for a long time over that. So I did not make a wise choice. Now, all your choices should glorify God. Amen. They should glorify God. Not yourself. Not other men. You shouldn't be living for other man or other men. You should be living for God and God only. Now, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now, the last time I looked, all means all, and that's all that all means. Everything you do should glorify God. When I go to work to do plumbing in the morning, I do it to glorify God. Why do I make my work look nice and I do a good job? To be blameless, to glorify God. Okay, on the back of my truck, of course, I'm also a director of Reformers Unanimous in Decatur, Texas, a drug addiction program, and it's been going on, it'll be 3 years in December. But on the back of my van, I have a big magnet on the back that's about Reformers Unanimous. Now, I have a problem with road rage sometimes. I'll admit that. I'll admit some of my sins, but not many of them. But that's one of them. I got it from my wife, I'll admit that. But I remember when I first, she just told me I was going to be on the rooftop tonight. So I remember though when I first got that magnet 3 years ago and stuck it on the back of that van. Me and her driving down the road and some guy pulled over in front of me and I was so mad. You know, wait your turn. She's like, hey, you got that magnet on the back of your truck. You got to be careful. Everything I'm doing is to glorify God. Everything I have, some way or another, it's all God's anyway. Amen. All good things come from Him. He made everything. Sure, I worked for the money, but He gave me the jobs. He made the trees that make some money. He made the ore that makes the metal. He made everything. It all belongs to Him. And the Lord giveth, but He also taketh away. We got to remember that. But your choices should glorify God, not yourself, not man. 1 Corinthians, just back a few chapters, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We need to remember also, when we're doing anything, someone's watching us. Someone's watching us. We can be two things. We can be a stumbling block, or we can be glorifying God. Two things. That's it. There's no in between. Someone is always watching us. I could get out of church. Who's it going to affect? It's going to affect a lot of people. I'm not saying I'm a great person or any of that. My wife will tell you I am, but I'm not saying that. But it'll affect my grandkids. It'll affect my employees. It'll affect my parents. My parents haven't been in church in a long time. And they were, well, I take that back. They came to church this morning. They came up for the weekend, and they came to church this morning, and I preached hard about going to church because I'm a firm believer in going to church. Unless you're sick, keep your flu at home. We don't need everybody to miss church. But unless you're sick, you should be at church or work. And I understand some people have a job. They don't have a choice. But if you're able-bodied, sometimes I hurt after jackhammering all day. But you know what? I feel better after I come and sit in that hard pew than if I had stayed home and laid on the couch with a heating pad on. I feel worse if I miss the church for that. Choices we make. Now, we're supposed to glorify Him, not just in our spirit, but in our body. Everything we do should glorify God. They shouldn't bring glory to us. So many people do things in life. Why? To get glory. They want to get all the glory. And that shouldn't be why we're living. We should be living to bring God the glory. To bring pleasure to Him. And you don't have to turn there real quick, but I'm going to turn to Revelation 4. This is one of my favorite verses. People say, well, I got this to do. I got that to do. I need to do this. Well, in Revelation 4, verse 11, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. We were created, right? For His pleasure. What glorifies Him more than doing His will? In Proverbs, and I can't tell you the exact verse off the top of my head, it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Which one? I thought it was 11. I just couldn't remember the rest of it. Thank you. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. Now it's wise getting the counsel, but we don't need to get godly counsel on things like that, because we know that's one of the things that brings God pleasure. But choices can ruin our Christianity, or they can help it. Choices can glorify God, or they can glorify us. If they're to glorify us, they're going to fail. Just like all the policies of our government. You know why? Because they're not for glorifying God. I get so tired of people saying, well, the government said that we're not founded on Jesus Christ. If you've ever read the Mayflower Compact, you would know that the Mayflower Compact was not written by a Muslim, was not written by a Buddhist, was not written by a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or anyone else. It was written by God-believing, God-fearing Christians. And the reason they came over here was to further the kingdom. I love the Mayflower Compact. And if you haven't read it, just Google it. It'll come right up on the internet. You'll be able to find it real quick. They don't teach that in school about the Mayflower. I don't even know if they teach the Mayflower in school anymore. Who knows? They probably don't. But the Mayflower Compact, yeah, we were founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our original laws came from this book. Why do you think it's not right to murder in the United States? Not because man thought it up. Man had it his way. Sometimes people make them mad, get rid of them. No, because the Bible said, thou shalt not kill. That's why all of our policies are failing today in the United States, because they're what men want to bring glory to them. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. They haven't done anything. God is the only one who can help or fix the bad choices that have been made in this country. No man can. Now let's go back to Lot for a second. Lot never thought that day when he pitched his tent towards Sodom how it was going to affect his family. Lot never, I'm sure he never dreamed. Because isn't that what Christians do so many times? They get their eyes on the world. And that's what Sodom and Gomorrah was. It was the world. Yeah. And sure, the Bible says there's sin and a pleasure for a while. But I've been in sin, way off in sin before I got saved 10 years ago. And there is no pleasure in it. When I got saved, I thought, oh, this is going to be such a boring life now. Man, we're going to just get together and pray and sing, that's it. But I've had more fun in the last 10 years with my Christian family than I ever had in all the years before then. Lot never thought that he was going to lose his wife. And there were some horrible sins, if you've ever read about it, that were committed afterwards. He never thought for one iota that that was going to happen. King David. 2 Samuel chapter 11. He never thought for one moment when he tarried instead of going off to fight in war like he's supposed to. He never thought that it was going to snowball into adultery, lying, all the conniving to try and cover it up, all the way down to murder of his best. This guy was so dedicated to King David. And when he said, go home and see your wife and you can go back off tomorrow, he slept with the servants that night. He said, no, if they're out fighting, I should be out there fighting. And he had him murdered. Then he lost his children. He never thought with that one choice to stay home. And that's what happens. A lot of men, a lot of women, they decide, you know what, I'm just going to stay home today. I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to do. The Bible says a man's supposed to work. You should work if you're an able body and you can find a job. You should work. The Bible says that. King David, it says that in those days that the kings went out to battle with their men. Presidents wouldn't like it today, would they? They'd be over there in the middle of Afghanistan and Syria right now. But that's where he was supposed to have been. But you know what? That rooftop, that was his internet. People make bad choices. They stay home. There's nothing to do. Oh, I'll get on the internet for a minute. Boop, 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 boop. Next thing you know, they're looking at what they shouldn't look at. Making bad choices. Our choices can either hurt us or help us. Now if you will, turn to Proverbs 8:17. I love this verse here. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That's a choice I made 10 years ago, was to seek Him. Thankfully, He was already seeking me. But that's a choice I made. So many people aren't choosing to seek the Lord, even the Christians. This is just a social club to so many Christians. They come on Sunday morning just to hang out and talk about the new car they got or whatever they've been doing or the vacation they went on or the cruise or whatever. And you don't see them back on Sunday nights. You don't see them back on Wednesday nights. You don't see them on the weeks that you have revival. Why? Because they're making bad choices. They're living for themselves instead of for the Lord. We should be seeking God. Now, the first choice we should make is salvation. If you haven't made that choice, you can't follow God. You're not His. The Bible says that. You haven't been born again into the family. That's the first choice you have to make. The most important choice, more important than any choice you'll ever make in your life, is salvation. The second choice is to follow God. But how are you going to make those right choices? Through His Word right here. You're not going to make the right choices on your own or seeking worldly. Don't go to your work tomorrow and say, hey, this has been going on. What do you think I should know? Go to your pastor. Go to a deacon. Go to a family member. Go to a friend. Go to someone who's serving the Lord. Man. Don't rely on your own heart. You can't do that. And make sure when you do make that choice, before you make any choices, you look at that choice and you look at God and you say, is it going to glorify You? That's the key thing. Now, people don't want to do that. People don't want to do that because when you do that, most of the stuff we would want and desire isn't really that important. What's important is winning souls. What's important is living for the Lord. Look, our life here is a short span. Even if you make it to be 100 years old, it's just a vapor, the Bible says. It's a short span. I was sitting there meditating today in my office right before we came to drove up here to Denton. And I was thinking, man, how long is eternity? Whew. You can't fathom. If you really start meditating on that, you can't fathom eternity. I mean, it's more than 100 billion years. Man. I mean, that number is not even close to it. So all the choices we make on earth should be glorifying God and storing up riches in heaven. I see these missionaries that y'all support and evangelists on the wall. That's making good choices. That's laying up treasures in heaven. People are going to come up to y'all one day and they're going to say, hey, you don't know me, but I got saved because you gave money to help that man to stay on the field. You're going to be surprised how many people are going to come up to you in heaven, those that gave to missions and that gave to the church. How many people are going to come up to you and say, from all over the world that you never knew about, say, hey, you don't know me, but because of you, I'm here today. Amen. So we have to make the right choices. Now, if everyone would stand, every head bowed, every eye closed, we'll start the invitation. Now, there has to be a time in your life, though, that you made that first choice. Maybe you never have. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior.